The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour. We're at the world-famous Max's Restaurant. That's the cuisine of the Philippines right here in Las Vegas. We're America's number one syndicated radio and food wine program, bringing you great information about good wines and great food with each and every episode. Thank you for your inquiring emails sent from your home country, from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Italy, from Baja California, and from France, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house guest invited guest audience is both hungry and thirsty, and they're pouring wine as we speak to make them a little more happy, if you know what I mean. Tonight, my special guest is Colette, who is the floor supervisor here at Max's Restaurant, and I think you'll enjoy some of the information she has to share with us about Max's. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we're all about, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering also that we'll discover lots of information about taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wines du Jour is a food and wine radio broadcast that is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio, on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast and free on iTunes. Listen to us also on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid, so don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. And remember, a meal without wine is called breakfast. I'd like to talk to you this evening about one important thing that you might have heard of but don't know too much about. I'm going to try to give you some information that'll help you. Have you heard the term corked wine? Do you know what it means? Do you know how it works? Well, let's see if I can't give you some information about that that maybe you don't already know. Corked wine is a special condition. More precisely, it's wine tainted with what they call TCA. That's the abbreviation for a very technical term. And it's a compound that reacts with wine and makes it taste and smell less pleasant, ranging from wet dog, wet cardboard, beach bathroom, that sort of thing. Not so cool. Not something that you want to put up to your lips, I can tell you. This tiny molecule known as TCA hangs out in various parts of the winemaking environment, sometimes on cardboard, sometimes on corks, sometimes on barrels, and it looks very innocent. So winemakers try very hard not to let this TCA get into their wine. Different noses can detect taint from different concentrations, and that's why sometimes people say to each other, "Is this corked?" Some wine corks are more sensitive as well, so while the normal person would actually enjoy a bottle of slightly tainted wine, someone from the acute TCA taint sensitivity portion would say, "I can't even taste this. It's horrible." So, and you'd wonder why. So don't feel bad if you don't recognize it. And if you do, you're an unusual person. We got to go to a break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet when we return right here on Wines du Jour at Max's famous restaurant.
Let's go.
DCA is a tricky, since the compound is used in winemaking process, people that work in the wineries are always concerned about TCA. So it's around everywhere, but they're supposed to actually go into the wine is a different story. Winemakers fight very hard to stop it, and the winemaker wins 95% of the time. Well, that just means about 5% of the wines are corked, so don't feel bad. One of the things that I can relate to, and I hope maybe you can as well, is going to a fine dining restaurant and ordering a bottle of wine, having it brought to your table, they pour a little sample, you pick up the glass, and oh, it stinks, and you haven't even tasted it yet. Then you might go ahead and taste it anyway, or you might stop right there and say, excuse me, I think this bottle is corked. That's what you need to say. Don't feel bad about it, and they'll take that bottle away and bring out another one. The restaurant doesn't get stuck with it. They pass it on to the wine distributor that sold it to them. They, in turn, get it and eventually ends back at the winery. And actually, around anywhere from 12 to 20% of the wines that go out of the winery come back as corked wines. That's incredible. They're trying to solve that problem, and so far they haven't. But I just want to make sure you, as a customer, understand that if you think it's corked, stop where you are, turn the bottle back, and get a replacement without having to worry about it costing you anything or that you're going to make an expense for the restaurant that they hadn't planned on. That's not the way it works. Just so you know, I think that's important. Does it smell like a wet dog? I know it sounds funny, but it's true. Or does it smell like a wet forest? I don't know if you've ever been in a wet forest. Or maybe a wet sponge. We've all had that probably at the kitchen sink at one time or another. Does it taste like an old rusty penny? Well, it's a corked wine, folks. That's what we need to know about. By the way, if the cork breaks upon opening it, that could be at home or in the restaurant or just about anywhere, or it falls into the wine, going backwards instead of coming out, going in, that happens to some people too, it has no effect on whether or not the wine is corked. It has nothing to do with being corked. What it means is it's a very dry cork and it probably crumbles. We often see wine 1999, 2000, 2005, and you try to open it and you pull half the cork out of the bottle, the other half is still in there, and you have to worry about it because the older the wine, if it hasn't been laid down properly to where the wine stays wet, that's why we lay wine bottles down as opposed to stand them up, and the cork gets dry. And when it gets dry, it gets brittle. When it has a little bit of age, and that's where the problem comes from. So the dry cork crumbles could be a clue that it might be an older wine, which I just mentioned, or been exposed to air. This may possibly be a less than prime wine as well, just so you know. If you think it's cork, chances are it is. So don't feel bad about remembering what the name corked wine is and using it if you feel it's necessary. Don't drink wine that you don't think is perfect. It doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not saying if you choose a wine and there's nothing wrong with the cork, etc., but you don't like it, that's a whole different story than what I'm talking about when I say something that's corked. If you bought a wine that you don't like, that's kind of like, tough. You can either go ahead and drink it and gulp it and remember I'm never going to order this one again, or you might order a second bottle, but remember you're still going to pay for the first one because you're the one that chose it. It turns out that you don't like it. That's your fault, not the restaurant's fault or the winemaker. Okay? Just so you know. Run region corked is a very touchy area, is that people encounter things that they don't love in wine because they like wine almost all the time, but you've been intimidated or fear that somebody's going to look at you cross-eyed if you say this bottle might be corked. Please understand, don't feel bad at all. If you think the wine is corked, as I said earlier, it probably is, and have them take it back and replace it with another bottle of wine. The only person that's going to be responsible for the cost of that is the winery itself, and it was their wine to start with, so that's where the expense belongs. Finally, if you don't send it back or return an open bottle at the wine shop, And incidentally, if you buy it at a retail wine store, you take it home and it's corked, take it back, they'll replace it. They don't get stuck with the money that wine bottle costs. They take it to the wholesaler. Wholesaler takes it back to the winery. And just as though you were in a restaurant, it ends up back at the winery. And please don't not do it. It's your expense that you don't need to have if that's the case. So get credit from your supplier for the corked wine. While we're not losing money when you return that bad bottle, they're gaining a stronger and healthier relationship with the guests. That would be you. So that's a good thing. If you don't love it, for any reason, call it corked. No, but that's the way it works. Corked is a very important thing, and it happens a lot more often than we like to say. And I mentioned earlier, maybe up to 12 to 15% of the wine. So the more bottles of wine you have, the more chance you have for having a corked bottle. They're not all corked for sure, and don't automatically assume this is going to be a corked wine before I even open it. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you do have something that smells like a wet dog when you pull the cork, then you know that you do have a cork bottle. Put the cork back in and return it to wherever you got it. Or if you're in the restaurant, just call the sommelier over or the food server, and they'll take care of it gladly. Not a problem whatsoever, because face it, their food isn't going to taste so good if you're pairing it with a wine that's bad, right? Okay, so keep that in mind. I think that's important. Also, I want to mention a little bit about the restaurant that we're in tonight. We have, and we've been here before, we love this place. If you don't know anything about Max's restaurants, and you could be anywhere in the world because they're all over, as a matter of fact, Max's started out in the Philippines. In fact, today they have over 100 restaurants in the Philippines alone. That's incredible. That means they're pretty popular, and they're known worldwide, including here in America, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And the restaurant that we're in right now happens to be headquarters for the Americas for the Max's, and they do the training and everything to employees that are coming to work for Max's here at the restaurant that we're in tonight. But the traditional Filipino food has continued to change over time, just so that you know. It isn't, if you tasted it 20 years ago, it might taste a little different today. And I'm talking about the same dish 20 years ago, and you taste the same dish today. It might taste a little bit different. But this is influences for Filipino food is Indian, Chinese, Spanish, and American, all kind of blended together. So they've created their own technique of doing things and their own use of spices and so on. So it is a little bit different than a Chinese dish, although it may have the same or similar name. Tonight we have some really nice choices to go with the three wines that we have. The wines this evening that we are using are from Australia and from the McLaren Vale, which is an area that is known for wine. It's almost 100% vineyards, plus a few wineries included. But it's called Paxton, P-A-X-T-O-N. That's the name of the winery. And, you know, you may or may not know, if you've listened to Wines du Jour over the years, you know that Australia is known for their Syrah. We call it Syrah. The Australians have their slang term for it is called Shiraz. But they mean Syrah. They're just saying it with their own little lingo. So Shiraz or Syrah, it's the same exact grape. And it's also grown in almost every country in the world. So the Australians just kind of fell in love with it. You know, it's not uncommon with company or countries in the Asian area to be Syrah or Shiraz, but in the European countries, Cabernet Sauvignon is the big boy. That's the one that most people for red wine choose. Not in Australia. It's number two or three in Australia. Number one is Shiraz or Syrah. So that's what we have this evening. And we have one that's straight Syrah, and we have two that are a little bit of a blend, and we'll talk about that as the time comes up for that. Now at 14 branches in North America, I'm talking about Max's restaurant again, the mainstay, as I mentioned earlier, is right here in Las Vegas, and the food here is very good. Tonight, the chef has put together three choices of food to go with the wines, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. The first wine is actually a blend of Syrah and Grenache. Now, Grenache is a varietal that some people don't know about. It's kind of funny because it's used in, probably 70% of all wines around the world. We're talking about red wines now, have Grenache blended with it. But Grenache is pretty much known as what we call a blending grape. It's used to blend with other varietals as opposed to bottled by itself, which is similar to what happened, the story background, if you will, was Merlot. Merlot started out as a blending grape in France for years and years and years, and other countries decided they were going to take their Cabernet and they were going to try to make it taste like the French. So they started growing a little bit of Merlot also. Next thing you know, there's an awful lot of Merlot grapes around the world, and they aren't using it all because they're not selling, you know, the percentage of 3 or 4 or 5% of Grenache going into a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon isn't a lot. I mean, the Merlot going into a Cabernet Sauvignon is not a lot. So they end up with a lot of juice, and they decided, to make a long story short, to bottle Merlot by itself. And so today you can easily find Merlot from almost every winery in the world that's bottled single by itself, that varietal. Grenache is not that way. It doesn't have that much, but they do have an awful lot of Grenache around the world, and who knows? It may end up being bottled by itself, or you could go buy a bottle of Grenache, but I just don't think it has the character to be a lone grape in a bottle, if you know what I mean. Merlot does. It's a very nice one. Goes very well with steaks and chops and lots of good things, including a number of fish. One of my favorite is Merlot with tuna on the grill. Excellent combination. But Grenache is pretty much going to consistently, I think, even for the future, be a blending grape. Okay? Now, this first wine that we have is 14% alcohol. That means that it's still not too heavy an alcohol and will blend very well with food. You know, we talk about it all the time, I guess, is anything from up to 14.5% or 15% alcohol is okay. Anything that has higher alcohol, and there are a number of wines that way, the less chance it's going to blend well with food. The higher the alcohol, the less chance it will pair with food. So if you keep it under 15%, you're in good shape. And this one happens to be 14, and it retails for about $17.99 or $18. It is a blend, again, as I said, 62% Shiraz and 38% Grenache. Pretty easy, and it comes from McLaren Vale, which is a specific wine region in Australia. All three of these come from the same general vicinity, the McLaren Vale. So we'll talk about how it tastes and so on, and I just want to mention before we go to a break the type of food that the chef has paired with this. Now, everybody, if you go on Facebook and look around, and somebody says meatloaf, they have to tell you what kind of meatloaf and from where, because it seems like every town, city, or state has its own method of making meatloaf, and Las Vegas is no different, and the Philippines aren't either. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Wines du jour. We're here at Max's restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada. And before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the Filipino meatloaf that they paired with this first wine, which I'll talk to you just a little bit more about it here in a moment. But I want to mention the meatloaf. And I said that everybody seems to have their own recipe for meatloaf. Well, the Filipino has there, they use steamed sausage or steamed pork. And with that, they have some carrots, some red bell pepper, a little celery, some raisins, and some boiled eggs, all put together to make this meatloaf. And that doesn't sound like anybody's homemade meatloaf that they put 50% ground beef and 50% sausage and maybe an egg and a little bit of onion, and they call that meatloaf. That's probably the most common basic recipe all across the country here in America. But they are using pork for meatloaf as opposed to beef in the Philippines. That's cool. I like that. And the wine, of course, as I mentioned, is a blend of the Shiraz and Grenache from McLaren Vale in Australia. And incidentally, it's 2012 is the year that these grapes were grown. And I'll mention it again, the price retail that you would find in the in a store is around $17.99 or $18 a bottle. That's pretty good. The taste now of this Shiraz Grenache blend is kind of interesting. It has a lot of pepper taste. It has a lot of berry taste, especially fruity berries, blackberries, red berries, and so on and so forth. It also has a little bit of vanilla. You can taste the vanilla on it. And the vanilla now, as I say this quite often, but I need to tell you again in case you don't already know, is vanilla comes from only one thing, and that is the oak barrels that it was aged in. When the juice gets into the wood of an oak barrel, it actually it permeates the wood. It actually pulls out some vanilla taste. And so that's where you get it no matter what wine. If you ever have a wine that has vanilla in it, it was aged in oak. Maybe too much or maybe too little, but it was aged in oak, and that's pretty much the way that works. I like the tannins in this, and I think this has a really nice, I call it a long, lingering finish. When you swallow it, you can continue tasting it for a period of time after you swallow, and all wines are not that way. In fact, out of these three, there's two of them that have what I call a long lingering finish. This is the first one, since it's the first wine, that has that type of a sensation. And I think that's a good thing. It's juicy. It has a lot of berry flavor to it. And it goes really well, even with the sausage as opposed to beef when it comes to meatloaf. So I think that's a good thing. I want to introduce you to a lady that is here making sure that everybody that comes to the restaurant has a table they're happy with and the food comes out the way it's supposed to. She just supervises, if you will, all of the customers, the behavior, if you will, of the customers, and makes sure that all the food servers are doing their job. I think that's an important thing for you to recognize, that restaurants, good restaurants, have somebody that's doing that. Her name is Colette. And Colette, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're probably supposed to be home by now. But thanks for coming by and spend some time with us and share a little bit of information about Maxis.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Good. Tell me a little bit about Maxis. You've been here for a while, and of course, you're in charge of what's going on, so I guess you're the right person to ask. If we come here as a customer, what can we expect?
Good service. friendly, so good food always, and I am here to help and make sure that if you're new and this is your first time, that I can help you to your best and I can find something that
very good
so you'll like.
If they're not familiar with Filipino cuisine and they ask you questions, you can answer the questions about what this particular dish is or how it's made and that type of thing. It's pretty common. You do that?
Yes, every day.
Every day, yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, you know, there's some restaurants where if you ask, what does this mean, they look at you like you've got two heads. You know, you're not as good as you should be as a customer because you don't know the answer to that question. That's pretty silly, and absolutely, of course, the wrong thing to do. So How many people do you have working for you in the service area? Quite a few?
Servers, I'd say about 15 servers at this time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more to Colette, but we're here at Max's in Las Vegas. Be back in a moment.
Thank you. My barbecue is awesome. This barbecue has a little bit of spice.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're here at the Max's Filipino restaurant in Las Vegas, and I'm hoping you have an opportunity to come by and taste some of this food here on a lunch or on a dinner 7 days a week. The service here is always very, very good, very attentive, very friendly, and the food is always not only looks good, but it tastes absolutely wonderful. Tonight we're featuring Paxton Wines, and I just want to mention a couple things about Paxton before we go back to the food and pairing here. Paxton Wines was actually established in the McLaren Vale back in 1979. So they've been making wine for quite a while. And David Paxton, who is the originator and still the owner of the winery, has a son whose name is Ben Paxton. And about 2005, they decided to open up a tasting room in the McLaren Vale. And so they built it, and Ben is the one that runs it. You go there today. And Ben will be there to help you with any questions that you might have in the pairing and or just of the tasting of all the different varietals that they make. And tonight, of course, we are featuring this beautiful combination of Grenache and Syrah, or Shiraz. And now we're going to wine number two. And wine number two is the Paxton... the Australian single vineyard from the McLaren Vale, but a single vineyard. And what that really means is every grape in the bottle came from the very same vineyard, not two or three different vineyards blended together or whatever, but it's all from McLaren Vale, this particular vineyard that they think is special. And I think you, when you taste it, you're going to say, hey, this is special. And it is 100% Shiraz or 100% varietal. So that's a good thing to express. The price for this is about $21 a bottle. It's a little bit more than their other one, but it is a single vineyard designated wine, and I think it's worthy of a couple extra dollars without a problem. So it tastes really well. It's got a really deep red or almost black color to it, which I think is beautiful. And, of course, when you get a wine, whether it's at home or in a restaurant or wherever you might be, poured for you, you always swirl the wine around the glass for about 8 or 10 seconds. This gives an opportunity for all the aromas to get up on the side of that glass, and then when you stick your nose right down in it, you can smell it. Boy, this smells sweet, I think, anyway, a kind of a perfumey. And you can also smell the vanilla. Now, you can taste it, but you can also, in this particular case, you can smell it. This is $21, as I mentioned earlier. And the berries, the blackberries, the red berries, and it even has what I would call a cigar box aroma and taste to it. Keep that in mind when you taste it next and see what you think. It's a very full-bodied wine, which I think is great. And chef here... in the back has put together something that pairs very, very well with it. And that is what they call beef stew. Now, beef stew sounds pretty simple, but the taste of this beef stew is pretty unique. It does have beef, obviously, as opposed to pork like the first one, but they simmer it in garlic and tomato sauce, cheeses, and spices. And let me tell you, it falls apart. It's very, very tender. And very, very tasty. And what they suggested, if you are to come in here and just order beef stew, right, you know, right off the top of your head, to ask them if they would put some steamed rice with it, I think you'd find that it would make a great little meal. And then, of course, a glass of Paxton Shiraz wouldn't be too doggone bad at all. Now, this Paxton Shiraz that we're tasting now that retails for around $21 is a 2012 vintage. And this beef stew is fresh, but very, very tasty. I think you're going to like it. I want to ask everybody here, once they've had a chance to taste it with the wine, what they think, because I think they're going to be very, very impressed. Thank you, Juros.
You're welcome.
So the concentration of fruit in this wine is very, very good. It also has something kind of unusual for a red wine, and that has a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg in the flavor of this, which is pretty unique, but very, very pleasant, and I think it adds to the taste of it. And, of course, one of the things that I like is not only the vanilla, but the oakiness taste of this wine. It's a little bit different than the first one, and I think it tastes pretty good. So try it along with a little taste of the stew, and I think you're going to be very, very happy. Now, the percentage of alcohol that I haven't mentioned on the second one is perfect. It's 14.5%. That's really good. $21, 2012, and 14.5% alcohol. I think you're right on here. And a little bit of beef stew is not too shabby. Now, your experience with the different tastes that they have here, the Filipino cuisine is not so, like, out of this world in terms of choices, but what they've done is they've taken styles or types of cuisine and kind of added the Filipino influence to it. Do you think that's
exactly
a good way to put
did.
It?
Yes.
Yeah. They just kind of twisted it a little bit and made it Filipino. How many people live in the Philippines? Do you have any idea?
No, a
no.
lot.
Carl, how many people in the Philippines, roughly?
Close to
100
million.
100 million? Wow. Yeah. Around 100 million people living in the Philippines. How many islands?
7,107.
7,100 islands in the Philippines. I mean, I'm telling you things I guarantee you never heard before, because we think the Philippines is just a little island like Japan. You know, it's a little island. Well, Japan is two islands, four, I should say. With Hokkaido, which I played in the Winter Olympics in Hokkaido in 1973. Which is north, and then the main island where Tokyo and Kyoto and Fuji and all that. But then they have a couple other southern part, one of which Okinawa is located, where the military from America spends a lot of time. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, there's a lot of islands in the Philippines. It's not simply one main island. And once you get that in your mind, then the population of 100 million doesn't sound quite so bad. But, you know, you go to Los Angeles and you think there's probably 100 million down there, especially if you're at 5 o'clock on the freeway. There must be 100 million or more. But here, back to our Paxton single vineyard wine and Max's Filipino. This stew is killer. You like it, folks? Yeah, isn't that good? Yeah. So, you know, stew is kind of a, you know, it's not what you would call a specialty. It's just something that's very good. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And in a few minutes, we're going to go to wine number 3. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines.
Yeah, it really brings out the wine.
There's a Christmas tree in a way. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Max's Filipino restaurant here in Las Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. And we're having just a great time here tasting this beautiful beef stew that the chef has put together. Now, one thing, I've eaten a lot of beef stew in my life. Being a chef, I've tasted, I don't know how many times, I have never in my life tasted beef stew that's spicy. And I have to tell you, this is beautiful here. The spiciness is just perfect. It's not too spicy, but it's not too little, but where you don't really know for sure if it's spicy or not. You definitely know it's spicy. And when you take a taste of this Paxson single vineyard wine, you are just, you know exactly what food pairing is all about. They go together super, super well. The chef done a beautiful job, and of course Paxson in Australia has done a very nice job with their single vineyard, Shiraz. And this one, as I mentioned earlier, and I'll say it again, it is 100% Shiraz, or Syrah, if you will. So it's very full-bodied wine, and I think you need to be to stand up to this beef stew, which is absolutely wonderful. Next time I come here for lunch, I'm going to order the beef stew with a little bit of steamed rice, and I'll be a happy camper, if you know what I mean. Now, they have something here that you probably don't know anything about. That is more Filipino, I guess, than anything else. And it's, you look at the bottle and you think it's a bottle of ketchup. Well, it isn't. It's banana sauce. Now, banana sauce is exactly what it says, but you don't know what it tastes like because you've never had banana sauce probably in your life until this point. So if you have some banana sauce here in the audience, put some of it on the plate and taste it. You will not believe how good it is. Banana sauce. And as I think exclusively, I think it's exclusively Filipino. Is that correct? Do they have it in other countries too, or not so much?
Yeah. I've never seen it.
It's exclusively Filipino. It's one of my favorite things. And it's not ketchup. Although it looks like it, it's red. It's in a bottle shaped like what you would consider to be ketchup. But the label says banana sauce. Try it, folks. You'll love it. Put a little bit of this with your stew, the bite, and you won't believe how nice it perks up the taste. So it's like something brand new for the local people and the people listening to us around the country. Banana sauce. If you can find a store that sells imported items from different countries and so on, ask them if they can get you some banana sauce from the Philippines. And if they can, buy it. And if you have to buy two bottles, buy it. You will love it. It is really very, very good. You know, ketchup is something the chefs kind of laugh at from time to time because it's such a basic, not so exciting item. Although, when you go into a restaurant for breakfast and see all that ketchup on the eggs, it makes you want to throw up. But in addition to that, they'll put ketchup on hash browns. I don't disagree with that. I do disagree with ketchup on eggs. That's just a sin. Shouldn't be allowed. You should go directly to jail, pay $200 to get out. You know what I mean? It's one of those types of things. But banana sauce is a killer, and it's a sleeper. I don't know why the Filipinos don't promote it more. They're so used to it. They've had it all their life. But they've got it on every table. You come to this restaurant, and it's on every table in a bottle. Like I said, it looks like ketchup, but it ain't. That's good. Okay, let's get down now to wine number three and food number three. Number three is a Shiraz from McLaren-Vale. It's also 100% Shiraz. And with it, the chef has put together a special pork sausage to go with it. And I can't wait to get the taste of both of those. Because the stew was a killer. And I can't wait now for the pork sausage to go with this other Shiraz from McLaren-Vale. Please remember McLaren-Vale, and if you're looking at Australian wines, if it is from McLaren-Vale, there's a good chance it's outstanding. And more importantly, if it says Paxton on the bottle, P-A-X-T-O-N, that's the one you want to grab. That's what we've got. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. You should have one or two glasses of wine every day. No, every day with your dinner meal. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a great time here. We're enjoying this wine. Paxton, you've done a beautiful job down in Australia. That's down under the equator. We're above the equator, or that's the way we think about it anyway. But McLaren-Vale, which is where Paxton is located, is a beautiful place to grow grapes and make wine. And let me tell you, I'm happy that they're sharing it with us here in America, because all the wines that are made in Australia do not necessarily end up in America. But if they have enough volume, they can do that. Most of them are more concerned about taking care of the locals. And the locals in Australia love Shiraz. That's their favorite red wine by far, more so for sure than Cabernet Sauvignon. And it is a delicious varietal. We have Shiraz or Syrah in almost every country in the United States, including France. They make a Syrah that is very, very tasty. But I think this one coming out of Australia has a little more depth to it. I really like it, and it's not very expensive. A bottle of this one that we're about to taste, the MV, what they call MV Shiraz, 100%, is only $19. I say only. You know, some people think that's probably expensive, but I think it's probably a very worthy price for coming all the way from Australia and tasting as good as it does. And this is also the 2013 vintage, which means that all the grapes were grown in 2013. That's the way they get a date on any wine bottle or label. With that, the chef has put together a beautiful pork sausage, a savory pork sausage fried with until it's golden brown, and then it's best paired with garlic rice, eggs, and a side of pickled papaya, which is the way you would get it if you ordered it when you come here at the restaurant. And let me tell you, it not only looks good, but I haven't tasted it yet, but I know without even tasting it's going to taste good. So what I like to see is everybody here now is opening up a bottle of the banana sauce and adding it to their plate and finding out what it's all about. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at how good that's going to taste. Okay, this Shiraz that we're tasting now has a very ripe plum taste to it, some berries. It has a little vanilla with it as well. But something that we haven't tasted in the other two Shiraz from the McLaren Vale is chocolate. This has a little bit of chocolate with it. It's rich and it's juicy. I just think it's very good. But the dark chocolate taste kind of stands out, or at least it does for me, and I'm hoping it does for you as well. And this is the other beautiful wine that has a long, lingering finish. So we've had a great time here at this particular restaurant. We don't get here as often as we like, but I have to tell you, Max's Restaurant Cuisine of the Philippines is an excellent place in Las Vegas for you to try. Or if you go to the Philippines, there's over 100 of them. You can find one close by just about anywhere. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show, and we broadcast each week at this very same time, this very same station that you're listening to us. Or you could go to leskincaid.com and choose any of the shows 24/7 for you to listen to. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, tell everybody you know and tune in next week. And if you just want to know more about my favorite subjects, go to leskincaid.com, as I mentioned. Or you can go to Facebook or Twitter for any of my current updates. Also, I want to thank my radio broadcast engineer, Jeremy Knight, for all of his work. Thanks for choosing and listening to Wines du Jour. And from the Left Coast, from the East Coast, and from all around the world on the Internet, from Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.